Good afternoon. I'll talk about cross-cultural transfer. Since the 1980s, cross-cultural transfer has become one of the trendiest approaches in the humanities, applied for studies on reciprocal cultural influence of different regions, groups, social ranks, and so on. Originally, the theory was developed by Michel Espagne and Matthias Medel in the field of German studies in France. Since then, the scope of application of the approach has been widened formidably, both in geographical and temporal terms, among other things, to ages prior to the one of national states, for example, the early modern times. However, for music history, studies on influence have always been crucial, and explaining music history in the Eastern Baltic area in the late 17th century is not and was not possible without taking into account influences from elsewhere. Thus, the question is, what are the benefits of this quite recent approach? Besides that, I would like to address some problems which arise as soon as we try to explain aspects of music history in the Eastern Baltic area in the late 17th century through the cross-cultural transfer. The state of affairs in the Eastern Baltic area seems very inviting for cross-cultural studies. Multiple local parties were involved, named the German elite and the Swedish regime, and of course the Undeutsch, the general public. But information about their music is missing, actually. It can be taken for granted that this setting explains the strong connection to Germany. Of course, the most town musicians were German, almost all 17th century cantors in Tallinn, Narva or Riga came from Germany, and the institutional structure of musical life was very much the same as in northern Germany. Due to the Swedish regime, contacts to Sweden entailed, thus one could suppose an increased musical influence from Sweden as well. That means influence from anywhere outside must not be neglected. While one can draw conclusions on general tendencies in musical life from this constellation, it is too general for dealing with more specific questions. Here, the cross-cultural approach could be helpful. Yet, as is to be demonstrated, telling the whole story by means of cross-cultural transfer is not a realistic undertaking either. The approach of cross-cultural transfer is essentially an outcome of the criticism on comparative history writing. Indeed, although it is based upon comparison too, for otherwise it would not be possible to identify differences of entities which are involved into the process of transfer. Cross-cultural transfer goes far beyond that. I want to mention just some of the assertions of this approach. First, the role of the receiver is an active one, which is also one of the reasons why some of the theoreticians, for example Peter Berg, prefer the term exchange instead of transfer. So secondly, the cultural good is not adopted as it stands, but will be decontextualized from the old culture and recontextualized in the new one. And thirdly, the role of the mediators is emphasized. For music history writing, these aspects are useful to varying degrees. Maybe the emphasis on an active role of the receiver is the most central claim that the cultural transfer approach has proposed. Actually, instead of a receiver, it would be even more appropriate to speak of a taker. It needs a wish to import and also special conditions so that transfer can take place. Hence, transfer processes cannot be explained by the attractiveness of a cultural good alone. The same applies for mobile musicians. I mentioned that almost all cantors in Eastern Baltic towns came from Germany. For example, cantors in Tallinn came from Middle and North Germany, some of them via Scandinavia. That means that there must have been conditions attractive enough for potential cantors to undertake the long and expensive journey. Here it was the Swedish education policy that created advantageous conditions for scholars. By founding gymnasiums in Riga and Tallinn and the university in Tartu in the beginning of the 1630s. A recommendation of a certain Ratenius in the Stammbuch of Johann Valentin Meder, who went to Tallinn and Riga, proves that especially young, educated Germans could find employment in the Eastern Baltic. I recommend Meder, who plans to go to Sweden, to apply for a post in Livonia, the land which nourished many students who went there. Well, let's take a look at the transfer of musical skills and knowledge. Musicians from Tallinn studied in Lübeck with Buxtehude, like the organist Ludwig Busbetsky and the town musician Johann Pollack, for example, or in Lüneburg with Christian Flohr, like the same Pollack. But it is not only the fame of the teachers that was an important factor for their choice of place of apprenticeship. An additional motivation could have been the hierarchy of musical positions in Tallinn. There was a strong organist tradition in Tallinn, and the organists were in keen competition with the cantors. Thus, by studying with celebrated organists abroad, they could improve their prospects at home in Tallinn. While for musicians in Tallinn, Danzig seems to have played a marginal role at best, those in Riga seem to have had contacts especially to Danzig, and vice versa. Here again, it should be asked for other reasons than, for instance, geographic ones. In both towns, there were several groups of musicians. In Danzig, two guilds of musicians, town musicians, and the outstanding church chapels. And in Riga, several constant groupings of town musicians, similar to guilds. Organists were rather subordinated in both towns. It is probable that by these similarities, exchange between them was made easier. Maybe musicologists haven't been too eager to apply the approach of cultural transfer because some of its central achievements may not seem really new to them. For example, the second claim. The cultural good is not adopted as it stands, or as Peter Berg puts it, ideas, information, artifacts and practices are not simply adopted, but on the contrary, they are adapted to the new cultural environment. They are first decontextualized and then recontextualized, domesticated or localized. In a word, they are translated. Well, concerning discrete musical works or their structure, this is obvious indeed, and also common practice. For example, with Johann von Altin Meder's German opera Die beständige Argenia, written in Tallinn, 1680, it is impossible to examine its Italian elements in an adequate way without paying attention to the new and different musical context compared to Italian operas, and without asking how these Italian elements have been used in the new context. Yet the concept of decontextualization and recontextualization is less self-evident with regard to aspects of musical life. For example, structural changes, like the shift around 1700. In Tallinn, the cantor institution became more music-specific after 1710. And the question is how this is related to similar changes in Germany. And after all, as no cultural good can be transferred without mediators, because cultural transfer approach pays much attention to carriers, like single musicians or perhaps groups of them, and also to the paths or media of transfer. And thus the question about the mediators of cross-cultural transfer are who and how. For the Baltic area in the 17th century, it is the Düben collection in Sweden and the contacts of Andreas Düben that can be cited as excellent examples of studies on paths of music dissemination. This is not to say that this research has been done or should be done in terms of the cross-cultural approach, but rather that from the standpoint of this approach, this kind of research is absolutely necessary to understand cultural history. As my examples show, it is possible to apply this approach, the cross-cultural approach, to the Baltic, or to the music history in the Baltic area. But if we try to apply it, several problems arise. I don't have ready answers to all these questions, but I start nevertheless. After Carl Allan Moberg wrote in 1957 about the Baltic as a common musical area, probably no one would have doubted the validity of this idea. Concerning the transfer of music, a fundamental problem arises, namely that the very criteria that are considered constitutive for an area of common culture, for example common repertoire, at the same time become the subjects of cross-cultural studies within the same area. Cultural transfer is only possible as long as there are differences between regions. Now, when we look at music in a broader cultural context, it is clear that within the Baltic, the common ground, whether religious, linguistic or economical, was strong enough, even if there were certain cultural differences. Transfer of music, or rather the wish and conditions for transfer, are the very sign that there was a common culture. In fact, it was transfer that helped to recreate the common culture again and again. But it is complicated to exactly determine those who participated in the process of transfer and influenced the Eastern Baltic. And apart from transfer within the Baltic, there was transfer from outside as well, from Italy and France, for example. And this influenced the regions of the Baltic to different degrees. Transfer to the eastern part of the Baltic anyway often went through other stations. For example, the cantor in Narva, Georg Huber, worked in chapels in Hamburg with Christoph Bernhard, and also in Danzig and Königsberg before coming to Narva. Georg Andrea from Danzig went to Tallinn before his employment as cantor in Riga, and the cantor in Tallinn, Johann Helwig, was born in Berlin, lived in Stockholm and studied in Germany. Often we don't even know how many and which stopovers there were. We have to assume that music was not transferred without any changes, that musicians were influenced by local traditions in the towns where they came to live, and that each station functioned as a sort of filter. Thus, we have to take into account several of those filters through which music came to the Eastern Baltic areas in order to understand what it actually was that arrived there. For without any doubt, the musicians brought new repertory with them. And sometimes we also knew that they brought certain repertory with them. That means, especially for the Eastern Baltic area, it is essential to look at transfer networks, at the pathways of music and musicians. The temporal aspect is also interesting and problematic. How long does it take until transferred music becomes an integral part of its new context? Indeed, Berg states that a phase of fluidity will be followed by one of crystallization very soon. Nevertheless, it is quite tricky to determine the length of these phases. And even if it was not, the result would still be multiple stories of transfer. That means a quite fluid story or history of connections that lacks the capability of really telling something about constant local traditions. That is the reason why the cross-cultural approach is not suited for writing a holistic history, and also music history. A more complete story cannot be written until many particular ones have been told. Thus, the cross-cultural approach applies for case studies, studies on a certain town or region in a very limited period of time, or rather on a single person or group as mediators. Then, however, the approach can be very useful. As a last example, I would like to pick up the aforementioned shift in the Cantor Institution in Tallinn after 1710. That became much more music-specific, as I mentioned, just like at several places in North Germany. The Council of Tallinn actively sought after an appropriate candidate from Germany. As the letter of application of Christian Heimport from Halle suggests, much more was required than at the end of the 17th century. First and foremost, composition, the acquaintance with modern repertory, and the ability to acquire it. In this respect, Heimbroth also mentions his interconnectedness. Composition was also mentioned. On that, I'll report as much as this. I'm not a master in that field indeed, but still I'm not lacking the fundamentals. Besides, I have agreed with one of the most famous new composers to advance in composition until Easter so far that I'll meet the demands of Mrs. Revale, that means Tallinna, also in this respect, as far as possible. What is more, I have made the acquaintance of different distinguished composers in advance, in order to receive the most recent and gallant works at any time. All this is new in Tallinn, and the impulse for this change in the Cantor Institution and in the demands came from Tallinn. It is not possible to desire something one has not heard of. That means the desire to import this change could only come up due to the earlier continuous transfer and to the work of earlier cantors. Naturally, there was a wish to modernize one's own culture, a main driving force for cultural exchange in general. Now, several ideas provided by the cross-cultural approach are not really new. Yet the sum of them is. One of the greatest benefits of the cross-cultural approach is that it tries to address the problem that objects of historical research can scarcely be defined as closed entities. Rather, they are interconnected in numerous and ever-changing relations. The approach also stands for an absolutely non-hierarchical view on different cultures or groups or ranks, for instance, emphasizing the role of the receiver. And especially, the approach raises uncomfortable but useful questions concerning central points of musical life in the Eastern Baltic of the 17th century, about pathways, wishes and conditions to introduce something new. But it's very well possible to discuss the addressed aspects without even mentioning the cross-cultural approach. The most convincing studies thus don't cling to the rhetoric or the terminology of the approach, but make use of it as a source of inspiration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Andrew, for a very nice paper, and maybe we have some questions.
I would like to ask you about the notion of Eastern Baltic Rite, as I understand. For example, Lithuania isn't included to this Baltic Rite, yes? Or you are speaking about Eastern Baltic Rite, and it is area that was under the was influenced by German or Swedish culture, yes, about this Rite?
No, actually not. I mean, on the Baltic area, I meant the area of around the Baltic Sea,
yes,
actually.
Yes.
And eastern part of that is just eastern
yes.
part of
yes.
Baltic
and
Sea.
Or Hansa's Sea, that is about this area.
Yes, around
yes.
the eastern Baltic Sea. I mean, but I concentrated now on Riga, Narva, and Tallinn,
yes.
the Danzig.
Yes.
And,
you mentioned on the screen, and also you mentioned in your abstract the name of Michel Espagne. So I don't know how important he is for you for your work. I had some cooperation with him, and I studied his text, and I do know that his theory of cultural transfer is connected with the idea of a national culture. So
yes.
that would be a later
yes, that's
phenomenon from yours. And when you are speaking about mobility of musicians between regions,
mm-hmm.
so I think there's not this aspect of a national culture which can be observed and in which you can see the transformation of the received cultural object. So I think his theory would not be very applicable.
Actually,
to you.
Okay. So this theory has or this approach. There have been many developments of this approach during this time since the 80s, and one direction is in is that one tries to apply this approach on pre-national times.
Okay.
That's a Weiterentwicklung.
So my question, if he observes the national culture as the discourse, so what are you observing? Because
not national, no, but this approach can be applied very well on not national groups. It doesn't matter which groups.
What are you observing?
That was my question. How can we determine the participants? It's not so easy.
Countries.
Yes, you can take countries. It's most easier way it is to take one person and to look at this person on the towns where he lived or stayed. Or you can take just two towns. Or like connections or contacts between, say, Stockholm and Danzig, and to look at these connections.
Just to comment on Helena's question, the concept was further developed by other historians like Sven Tarkenbuhn,
yes.
Michael Nord, mm-hmm. and they tried to prove how it could be used and if it could be used for the early modern times. And one has to say that Michel Espagne and Michael Werner themselves have further developed their concept. Now they are not speaking of a cross-cultural transfer, but they developed something like, they call it Histoire Croisée. That means Verflechtungsgeschichte, perspective of issues which are connected to each other, and so they want to avoid just one dimension to be monodimension.
But there are many directions, actually. Also, besides Histoire Croisée, connected history, or hybrid
yeah.
history, other, I think, métissage also are called so. And sometimes they are taken as part of this cross-cultural transfer approach, and sometimes as not part of it anyway.
I'm just wondering if you've come across a book that looks at this not in relation to the Baltic, but in relation largely to the Habsburg domains, called Music and Networking. You know this book?
No.
Because, I mean, I think this would be quite an interesting book for you to look at, because it's precisely about the movement of people from the edges to the centres, and the reciprocity that's involved in that kind of thing, how the things go back again, and then they're reformulated a second time, and recontextualized. So you should maybe look at it, edit it. I can give you the...
This approach has been applied very much on more southern areas, like or Ottoman Empire also, but not on the Baltic Sea so much. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's worth of trying.
Any other questions before I announce tea? In that case, we thank Anu again, and I announce tea.